Good morning. God is good. Amen. How about the weather? It's supposed to snow tomorrow. I'm joking. That's about right. Lately, that's about how it goes. Well, I'm going to pray for you guys. You guys look really nervous, so I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer for you guys. And just invite the presence of the Lord. I mean, I know He's here. God, I know You're here right now, Father, and I thank You, Father, for how You're moving, how You're working in our hearts. You're pushing us and stretching us and pulling us out of the box. And what worked yesterday isn't the same today. And what works today, God, You'll stretch us even more tomorrow. And I thank You for that, Lord. God, this is Your house. We're Your children. You've called us for a time such as this. And it's an honor. It's a true honor, God, to be to share with You in the resurrection, to share with You in the hope and the joy of eternal life, and to be seated with You and forever positioned with You in eternity, God. I thank You for who You are, and for each person that's here today, Lord, let Your word be powerful, God. Let it speak to the depths of our hearts. Your will be done here today. Your will, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. Jesus needs to be the center of it all. Amen. Jesus must be the center of it all. You can't fake it. You can't make it to be something it's not. Your walk, though you may stumble, though you may fall, though you may have ups and downs, Jesus must be the center of it all. I do got to say this. Today's my son's fourth birthday. He gets really embarrassed, but I'm going to sing happy birthday to him. So I'll probably get embarrassed, and some of you might as well, but maybe we could do it together. You guys sing with me, for real? Okay. Brett, this is for you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Brett. Happy birthday to you. That was the point. Everyone was looking at him while I was crying, so it worked out great. I tell you, there's no joy like being a dad. I tell you what. Whew, man. Oh, bless her. Yes. There's no joy as great as being a dad. All right, being a husband, But God is good, and you know, I was listening to Kendra and the word of the Lord through Kendra this morning, and I'm just like, I'm back there crying, going, man, how much do we work at things? How much do we put all of our own effort into what we do? Even our walk with God, how much of it is just so much of this push and this pull and this heaviness and this don'ts and sometimes do's, right? But, I mean, how much do we strive to get something that is already ours? It's already ours. It is finished means, well, it is finished. We don't got to work for it. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday, what you did last year. But you just don't know. But I this and I that. It doesn't matter. It is finished. God forgives. God paid the price. did the work. Now we have to just rest. That is so uncomfortable. To rest in God, that is so uncomfortable for me. I'll be honest. I'm just being honest. I'm telling you what, it is hard. How about that? It is hard to rest. It is a challenge to rest, and that is me being completely transparent. Don't want to get on my knees, and I want to say all these great things. It's just me and him, and I mean them. It's not like I'm making them up. And I have needs. I have great needs. We all do. Anybody here doesn't have a need? I mean, I know you can't raise your hand. I know better. We all have needs. Great needs. And I want to get on my knees, and I want to just start rattling things off. And I'm not saying that it's not okay to do that. But I'm saying it is okay to rest in Him. He calls us to rest in Him. What does the scripture say? If we build the house, if we labor in vain, somebody help me here. What does it say? Anybody? There's like 50 of us here. Come on. All right. Unless God builds a house. There you go. There you go. That's a cross reference. That's good. Well, I'm going to ask you this morning, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? You know, you might hear yeses and nos, and I'll be real, it's a loaded question. Most time, us preachers up here, it's always loaded. I'm always afraid to answer. I don't know if I'm going to be wrong or right or, you know, I'm right, but it's not what they wanted. It's loaded. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? I have found such a hunger in myself that I cannot explain that God has placed in me. And when you say yes, I have to be honest. When you say that you're satisfied and you believe that, you need to watch out. Because Christ is the living water. The Holy Spirit is the water. He's the word, and the Holy Spirit is the water. And the more that you rest in Him, the more that you realize how big and how great He is. I want to read from John chapter 4 this morning. Oh, yeah. Better your phone than mine. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, New King James Version. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." The scripture explains it clearly. What I find funny is he says, "Give me a drink." We'll go on, though. Jesus answered and said to her. So at this point, we have Jesus, who's a Jew, and we have the Samaritan woman, who is not a Jew. And obviously, there's some friction between the two cultures. And I believe to talk to a Samaritan, a Jew to talk to a Samaritan was a no-no. A Jew to talk to a Samaritan woman was a bigger no-no. And he's asking her for a drink. So, let's see, go back here. He says, give me a drink. Then forward to 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Everybody say living water. Living water. Not just water, living water. This woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered her and said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, meaning of the well. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Who could use some of that today? Springing up into everlasting life. Water that will quench your thirst, that you will never need more water again. That will satisfy your spirit to the depth. The woman said, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. See, she's thinking in the physical. She's thinking from the well. She's not thinking about her spirit. She's thinking, come, she's all flesh right now. She says, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. That's a loaded statement. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, for you have had five husbands. The one whom you have now is not your husband. In that, you spoke truth, or you told the truth. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Pardon me. Where am I? Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Your worship, what you do not know, we know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. See, God is calling us. And you can see it now. I'm watching things happen now. In this time, I've been saved about 6 years. And in this time, I'm watching things happen now. I've heard men speak of it, but I've watched it with my own eyes, how God is moving things at a pace that even 6 years ago, I didn't recognize. There's no comparison. I'm watching lives restored. I'm watching marriages restored. I'm watching things happen that you can look at and go, wow, no way. And God is saying, just like this, those people that are seeking, they're thirsty, they're chasing after Christ, and they're being filled with that living water, and their lives are, the fruit is proof in their lives. See, what does it mean? Are you satisfied? What does it mean to be satisfied? It means to be content or to have enough. Do we have enough? Do you have enough? Do you have enough? Whatever it is. Do you have enough? Well, let's go. Let's see. Do you have enough kids? Just joking. Michelle says yes. She's back. I wish there was a video camera. Yeah. I won't. Yeah. Yep. It's on tape. All right. So, but do we have enough? Technology. Technology moves like this. You bought something 6 months ago, it's no good today. You want more. Do we have enough? Cars. We were out looking at cars yesterday, and I tell you what, man, I can get caught up in some of those things are nice. I love cars, man. I love cars. I love them. And, but you can't get enough because, you know, how long before that car is? At one time, I've bought cars for, you know, $30,000, $35,000, and a year later, you know, it's like half that. It's like, ugh. Personally, I'm into MMA, and that's a sport that I choose. But you never get enough. There's always the next fight, the next best thing in life. There always is, in makeup and jewelry, and you know what? Even in people. You know, we're married and we're called to love one another, and I do love you dearly, dear. And yet, if Jesus is not the center of my relationship with my wife, I'm never satisfied. Oh, man, but it gets so dangerous. In Proverbs, it says that death and the grave are never satisfied. And well, our flesh is death, and our flesh is the grave, and it wants more and more and more and more, and it's never satisfied. So Jesus, with the woman at the well, he's offering her a satisfaction. He's saying, here, I can give you something that will quench that. So to be satisfied is to be content or to have enough. What about happiness? It's to be delighted or to be pleased. I've always learned, the way I understood it, there's a difference between a happiness and a joy. You know, I've always looked at happiness and from my perspective as something that is a temporary, something that is in the moment. But a joy, look at it as eternal and everlasting. And Christ offers us joy. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall. God honors that hunger. You know, I think of the woman and the unjust judge, and how she came and pleaded her case time and time again. And the scripture says that eventually, Josh's paraphrase, she came back so many times that she got what she requested. And it says at the end, him being an unjust judge, how much more your heavenly Father who loves you. And so he needs us to be hungry. He needs us to be thirsty and not be satisfied. You will chase your tail trying to satisfy on the things of this earth. The things of no lasting value. You will chase your tail. And you will come up short every time. Thank you for not sitting on Jesus. This couple came in, good morning by the way, they came in this morning and I said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus. I said, oh, he's here. He's actually sitting in that row in that chair. I said, please don't sit on him. So you're all in on it, but anyways. And he really is here and I thought that was great. So, and he's actually sitting in every chair, so some of you are sitting on him. But But there is no end to God. I love what Eric said this morning, Pastor Eric said about the buffet and having all these different plates of food, and some of them just, oh, you know, I love food. I love cars. I love food. Well, I don't love them, but you know what I mean. MMA. And you imagine having all these plates of food, everything you could imagine, your favorite. What's your favorite food? I'm going to go with seafood. Seafood, all this escargot and snails and... Okay, I tried. Well, anyways, all of that stuff out there and having tons of plates, but yet not indulging in one, not one bite. Not one bite. Crazy. Doesn't make sense. Better yet, go to a place where you pay by the plate and get all you want, but don't take a bite. He wants us to be hungry and indulge. He wants us to seek us. I listened to Dr. Allen, the other day for the session that I wasn't here, and he talked about just seeking his face, just worshiping him for like, you know, 14 hours or something. I got to admit, for me, that's crazy. I'll be honest. That's a push, a very big push. Impossible, no, but a big push. But he was hungry. And and it says here in John in chapter 4, I read, talks about worshiping him in spirit and truth, and not in like a religious manner, not like we come here to worship, which we do, but where do we worship? I think Pastor Mike and others have said it over the years. It's when you leave. That's when it begins. That's when it begins. And we've got to continually allow God room in our lives because he's going to stretch us. I prayed it this morning. He's going to stretch us and pull us. And I tell you what, I don't like it. In the moment, I don't like it. I'm just being real. It hurts. It pushes your buttons. He makes you, oh man. I mean, just last night. I mean, every day. But just last night, there's an opportunity. And I have this opportunity to, you know, it's a tough decision. And my wife and I were talking about something very important in our lives right now. And God's stretching me, saying, you used to do it this way. Here's how you're going to do it now. If you want my blessing, and if you want to see me move, then I'm going to expect you, son, to do it this way. Regardless what it feels like, because it hurts. And it's tough. But I'm going to say, here. And you take this. Let me guide you. And you will see the fruit in your life. And I made the right choice, guys. Last night I did. But God is good. He wants us to worship him. He doesn't want us just to be restricted. He wants us to be open. He wants us to seek his face. I think of Facebook has, I didn't know this, 845 million members. 845 million members on Facebook. Twitter has like 180 million. That's wild. That's wild. When I think of Facebook, I'm not the biggest fan of it anymore, honestly. But I think of, you know, what everybody wants to be connected. And they want to, you know, honestly, I've been on there many times. Just, I want to find the value. And I want people to, see me. And I want to know people. And it's like, wow, like I've got... Like, honestly, my wife gives me a hard time about it. Some time ago, I thought I would invite everybody I could to be my friend on Facebook. And I don't regret it. It's kind of silly, but I don't regret it. But because I post scriptures on there every day, and I thought, you know what? Most of the people, you know, it's kind of, I feel like, you know, not that I'm any better than anybody, but I feel like Jesus hanging out with the sinners, because some of these people post some stuff that's just, ugh. Nasty, wild, but you know, I can't judge him. My whole point was to hopefully that the truth of scriptures, the word Jesus Christ, would have entrance into their lives. And if one person would benefit from that, I thought it's worth it to me. Again, I know like, I have like 1,500 friends and I know like four of them. And when Brett is 13, he'll get one and I'll have five, but anyways, I the point is, Facebook is like this empty web of like acceptance and false love, and I'm not saying it's bad. People use it, you know. People use it to connect with. I mean, it's used for great things. So I'm a black and white person. So I you know, sometimes I'm really extreme on one side, and but all these people that you know. I think, man, what if they just, what if 845 million people just turned to God and just turned to God and said, I'm thirsty and I want living water. I'm hungry and I want the bread of truth. What if? What if God is calling us to not be satisfied? He's calling us to move forward. He's calling us to seek his face. He's calling us to take risks, step out in faith, much like me this morning, here, right now. Scary. But he's calling us to do this because we have this inheritance, and he is in us, and he is our life. He wants to get out of us and to get, you know, to be exposed. He wants us to be the light in a dark world so that as we take in this living water, as we take in the bread of truth, as we seek his face, and then we can go out into places that maybe at one time we were uncomfortable with. We can go and we can represent our Christ and Savior and see people's lives that are restored from divorce, from drugs, from alcohol, from themselves, if you're me, 6 years ago, and from now even. You know, we can see God move by his power, and it's through each one of us. I just warn you, my friends, I warn you, seek him. Seek God. Seek God. Don't get distracted with the things of this world. My friend, he's dead now, Solomon, he would have said, well, he actually did say several times, vanity, vanity. It's all vanity. I've done it all. I've been there and done that. It's vanity. And the poor guy had like 1,000 wives. Well, yeah, see, you say rich guy, I say poor guy. I mean, bless his heart, but I don't know, man. Anyways, he's been there and done that. And he would say that it's all vanity, that the only pleasure that you're going to find is in Christ Jesus. That's it. There's so many things out there that can get our attention. There's so much available. Technology increases, knowledge increases, well, people increase. You know, it's there's more and more as we go on. As the days go on and get closer and closer to the returning of Christ, more and more opportunities to get into more and more things that are a waste of our time. It's the truth. So everybody go home and sell your phones, your computers, TVs. Nah. I'm just saying we don't need to get caught up in things that are not, you know, I think of the GPS, and a GPS is, you know, it's, you get off one degree, not knowing, over 1,000 miles, and you're in a whole other part of the world. And we don't need to get off one degree. Bless you all, we're going to make mistakes. There's no way around that. We're going to make mistakes. If I'm wrong, Lord, fine, I accept that. But we are an imperfect human, we're an imperfect person, a child of God, and we're gonna make mistakes, but that's why we have God. You know, and he knows our hearts, he knows your heart. He's not giving up on you. You want to hear that? He loves you. He loves you, he's not giving up on you. You bite it and you go, oh, and the devil says you're no good. Oh, you can't do that now. They don't want to hear that. You don't forget about it. He loves you. He didn't die on the cross. He didn't go through what he went through and redeem mankind so that every time that you make a mistake, it's the end of the world. He loves you. I just You need to hear it. He loves you. It is finished. It is finished. So when the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Remember that. Isaiah, write that down. Isaiah 59:19. Isaiah 59:19. I love the scripture. Because he's going to come at you. He's going to come at you. And he's going to keep coming at you. But who are you? You're a child of God. You're a child of God. And the distractions of the world, they won't satisfy you. They can't. We're created to worship. You have an audience of one. My friends, you have an audience of one, yet billions of people, yet he knows every detail about you better than you do. You have an audience of one. And my challenge is to enter in. My challenge is to take, set aside. You know, I'm preaching to me. I'm my biggest critic, right? I wouldn't be up here talking about it if I didn't live this or live through it or whatever. I'm saying, I'm just sharing my heart. An audience of one. And he wants nothing more than for you to come and know him intimately and realize how much you really don't know him. I mean, he's so vast. He's God. And my challenge is to set aside. I would challenge you today even to take a look at your life. Say, Lord, show me. Show me the doors that are open that need to be closed. Show me the root to my anger. Show me the root to my whatever. Show it to me. Show me what's causing my minds to be distracted. Show me, God. Expose it to me, Lord, that I can draw near to you, God. I say, take time. Give him a chance. Give him a chance to wreck your world. Take time to weigh out what is important and what is not important. And like this woman at the well. Sorry, I thought I was done. Like this woman at the well, who then runs to the town and shouts what had just happened to her. Come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they all went. And they saw. My challenge is, look at your life. Better yet, have the guts to let God look at your life. Let him see where you stand. I'm not saying you're bad, in a bad position. That's not my business. I'm saying let him look deep into your heart. Let him look at your schedule. Let him look at the things and assess where, what can I give up today, God? What is it that I can give up for you, Lord? I'm pressing to you, Father. So I'm going to know you. One day I'm going to be face to face with you, Lord. And all that other stuff ain't going to matter. Nothing else is going to matter. You're going to look at my life, and you're going to look at everything I've done. You're going to look at all my fruit, my everlasting fruit, and nothing else at that point will matter. So, Father, I pray, God, my prayer is, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see God. That hunger that you birthed in us, that you give to us, that you give to us. I pray that it would grow. I pray that it would grow. I pray that you would show us the things in our lives, excuse me, that don't matter, that have no lasting value, so that we can replace them with you, with the word of truth, with the living water of the Holy Spirit, so that we can run out into the circle of friends, so we can run out to our workplaces and speak of the Christ who changed our lives. God, you're doing something brand new today. And I thank you for that. You're doing something that is beyond our ability even to understand. But God, we trust you. And we know, God, that you're moving in a mighty way. Holy Spirit, continue. Expose, reveal, empower. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for who you are. I just bless your name this morning, Lord. I pray for every individual here today, God, that they would, Lord, be challenged by your word. Not by me, by your word. That your word, your sword, God, will challenge them, Father, as it's challenged me to make changes, God, and to seek your face, to not chase our tails. And I thank you, God, for being faithful today. In Jesus' name, if you agree, please say amen. Amen. All right, God is good. And until next time, we have the meeting at 12:30 right here. Financial meeting at 12:30 right here. And God bless you. See you next week. Or on the other side, either way. Pastor Mike. Don't mean to take that right now.